right, welcome back to it. You know, public policy is supposed to be in the public interest. But my next guest says the new Farm Workforce Modernization Act sets apart a few winners and a whole lot of losers, and he says it fully demonstrates why special interests and lobbyists are a dangerous element when it comes to crafting legislation. Chris Chmielewski here is the Deputy Director of Numbers USA. Chris, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you here. All right, so the Farm Workforce Modernization Act sounds great. Sounds like that's a good idea. But really, you say there's all sorts of problems. Where do you want to begin?
Yeah, this whole bill is about giving amnesty to illegal aliens and the farm workers that have been employing them for the last decade or so, and then providing a system of indentured servitude to provide farmers with a future farm workforce.
Explain. Let's take that one point at a time. Amnesty to illegal aliens. Now, that's not something this president would support, is it?
Most likely not, no. But what we're concerned about is that in the House, this bill has 24 Republican co-sponsors on it, and it could get more support when it comes to the floor for a vote. So if it gets enough Republican support and all Democrats go along, you know, if it passes with 280, 290 votes, that could put pressure on Mitch McConnell to bring it on the floor in the Senate, where there are some, you know, there are some Republican senators that represent ag-heavy states that might put pressure on him to have a vote on this. It could pass through the Senate, and then who knows what Trump will do. I don't think he would sign it.
I don't think so either.
Take that chance.
And I understand this. So 24 Republicans supported from ag-heavy states. You say it creates a permanent underclass of indentured servants. Please explain that point.
Yeah, one of the things that the ag industry learned from the 1986 amnesty was that give amnesty to illegal farm workers, they go work in other industries. They go work in construction and hospitality and food service and those sorts of industries, and they get out of the agricultural industry, and that leaves the ag employers with no more workers.
Let me jump in here, because I got to know this. Sure. Wouldn't it be better if we had a program, a guest worker program, that actually functioned properly in America, where if they come here from Mexico or Guatemala or China or Brazil, I don't really care. But they came here, they come for a period of time, and they work in whatever industry. But they're not permanent residents. They don't get amnesty. They have a guest worker program. Here's your card. You get to be here for a year, 2 years. Then you have to leave for a while. You come. Wouldn't that make more sense? Wouldn't that get a handle on our immigration issues, at least part of what we're seeing right now?
And we have a system similar to that already in place. But again, you mentioned the special interests at the top.
Yeah.
And that's who's driving this bill. It's the special interest. It's the big ag employers who have employed these illegal workers for years and years and years, and they want to reward them.
It's the mega
knowing
farms.
Knowing full well that they're going to go find jobs in other industries.
What you're telling me is it's these big, and I see this where I live all the time. From the time that I've been around, and I've been in rural Michigan for, you know, my entire life for the most part, but lived in places like Montana, Ohio as well, where I've seen the same thing happen. One farm attracts and buys the next one and buys the next one. And suddenly, over the course of 40 and 50 years, these small family farms are now 8, 10, 15,000 acres and growing because they're gobbling up every small farm that they can as they get, they become these huge operations, and they need a workforce. They need manpower. Right? I mean, that's what's happening through it's this consolidation I've watched in agriculture my entire life. And then you look at some of the mega producers. There's a place in Ohio that I did some reporting on. It produced 1 in 25% of all eggs produced in America on a single farm. Think about the magnitude of that. And they need workers, right?
Right. That's exactly right. You explained it perfectly. They basically become corporations of their own. And then, of course, they band together and become these massive lobbying groups as well. But what this really does is, and we'll concede the fact that field work is one of the jobs that we have relied heavily on foreign workers for in the past, but it's always been temporary. But what they want to do is they want to make it permanent. And what it does is it prevents them from just moving towards mechanization. And we've seen in other areas where there is where you don't have a huge pool of workers, they just mechanize And a lot of these farmers can mechanize. They just don't want to. They want to continue to hire cheap labor.
So one of the things, I go back to this thing, the certified agricultural worker, where somebody can be certified for more than 5 years at a time. You know, I see where that could sound like it's workable, but you're talking about people here that are basically locked into, you know, crap wages. And then the farmers have their, as you put it, indentured servants, right?
Right. Yeah, that's it to a T. That's the indentured servitude program. So you're forcing, you're creating a program where foreign workers can come in. They can work in ag. They can work in other industries too. But they have to work a specific number of hours each year in agriculture in order to retain the certificate. And
right.
Then they can actually get, they can earn a path to citizenship. They can get a green card after so many years of doing this.
So they're low-skill, low-wage foreign labor. Lots of it. And, of course, these big conglomerate farms capitalize on that, is what you're telling me. I don't see the foreign workers on farms that are smaller. I know people who own, you know, 1,000 acres or 2,000 acres, small by comparison. I don't see that as an issue there. It's these giant corporate farm operations that seem to be playing these games. So how do we sidestep it? Obviously, you don't think the president would sign this, but the next president might.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this is something, it's not new. We've seen it. It's just had different names to it. It was called Ag Jobs in the past, although there's more of this indentured servitude element is a little bit newer. We did see that in the past, too, but we haven't seen it in recent years. The best way to stop this thing is to make people aware that, hey, this is both amnesty for illegal aliens, and it creates a system, an outdated system of indentured servitude for farm workers. It completely benefits the foreign workers and the ag employers who've been breaking the law for a decade at the expense of American workers. And I don't know of any member of Congress who would vote for that in their right mind.
Hold on. You said members of Congress in their right mind in the same sentence.
Right.
Come on.
My bad.
This is a program where we talk about truth and honesty. Right in mind. Come on, Chris. Christian Malensky here, Deputy Director of Numbers USA. If people want to find out more about the things that you're looking at, evaluating, and talking about and writing about, Chris, where would you send them?
NumbersUSA.com or Facebook.com/NumbersUSA.
NumbersUSA.com. Good conversation, and one I'd like you to come back and give us an update on and see where this goes. In the process, how far is it away from getting somewhere?
So it's already passed in the House Judiciary Committee, which means it can come to the House floor at any time.
Right.
We think there's a pretty good chance it's going to come to the floor in the next 2 weeks before Christmas. Otherwise, it'll just come to the floor in January.
All right. Then,
again, we don't know what the Senate will do. Just depends on how many votes it gets in the House, I think.
Chris Chmielewski, greatly appreciate it. Well explained and well done. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
There you have it. And you can find out more looking up Numbers USA. Quick break. It's the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be back after this.
Mention the word taxes, and the first thing that comes to mind is April 15th, but that's the deadline for filing your tax return. The real work begins now. That's right. The moves you make over these last few weeks of this year will help determine how much Uncle Sam expects you to pay next April. And that's why this is the time of year to call Bruce Van Hall and Michael Douglas at Life Plan Advisory Services. Bruce and Michael are scheduling end-of-the-year tax strategy sessions, and they've set aside a few select dates just for their radio listeners. Bruce and Michael can help you create a tax strategy that's designed to minimize the amount you owe. There are lots of potential tax breaks out there. The key is knowing which ones apply to you. That's why you should call 517-323-7526 today to schedule a personalized tax planning review. There are only a few slots left, so call to reserve yours. That's 517-323-7526 or online at mylifeplanfinancial.com. Investment advisory services offered through Life Plan Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance and annuities offered through Life Plan Financial Design, Inc.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like
a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.